Radio Prague News. Russia's Gazprom has accused Ukraine of blocking resumed gas deliveries to Europe. Health Minister Tomasz Julinek has criticized the Prime Minister's decision to replace him in office, calling it short-sighted. And the 26 international artists who are said to have cooperated with Czech artist David Černý on the EU mosaic, which was put up at the European Council headquarters in Brussels on Monday, could be fictitious names. Russia's Gazprom has accused Ukraine of blocking resumed gas deliveries to Europe. The Russian energy giant said it had turned the taps back on at 8 a.m. local time on Tuesday and was not responsible for the poor gas flow reported by international monitors. Gazprom deputy CEO Alexander Medvedev said Russia suspected the United States of orchestrating Kiev's actions. Ukraine refuses to take the blame for the poor gas flow, saying it could not pump the gas on because Russia had switched the transit route. Moscow denies this. The six-day halt in deliveries has hit Europe hard, with some states, such as Slovakia and Bulgaria, declaring an energy emergency. The Czech EU presidency, which brokered an agreement on the resumption of supplies, has stressed the need for the EU to speed up work on a common energy policy. Czech Health Minister Tomáš Julínek has criticised Prime Minister Mirek Topolánek's decision to replace him, calling it short-sighted. Mr. Julínek is leaving the post after 2 years in office, with Mr. Topolánek saying he had failed to explain his healthcare reform to the public and gained the coalition party's support for it. The health fees, which he introduced at the beginning of last year, were believed to be one of the main reasons for the coalition's poor showing in October's regional and Senate elections. Mr. Julinek said on Tuesday that the decision to replace him had come at the worst possible moment in view of the global economic crisis. He said that the Czech health sector would most likely be in the red this year and predicted that next year could be even worse, arguing that he was the most competent person to deal with such an emergency. The group of 26 international artists who were said to have cooperated with the controversial Czech artist David Černý on the EU mosaic, which was put up at the European Council headquarters in Brussels on Monday, could be fictitious names, the CTK news agency reported on Tuesday. There is speculation that the work was Černý's alone, although the artist has denied this. The CTK said it had not been able to find the other artists on the internet in spite of their declared awards and stated participation in international exhibitions, and that their names were not in the register of citizens of the respective countries. The massive temporary art installation uses stereotypes to depict EU member states in a highly provocative way that is typical of David Černý's other work. Finance Minister Miroslav Kalousek has not ruled out a bailout for the group Bohemia Crystalex Trading, which is in bankruptcy proceedings. The minister made the statement in response to an appeal for help from the glass manufacturers, managers and trade unions, who have sought to find a means of keeping the group afloat. Mr. Kalousek said that a financial injection from the state would have to be based on guarantees that the company's losses would not deepen and that renewed production would gradually start making a profit. Analysts have put the downturn in the Czech glassmaking business to a lack of inventiveness and new design, saying that thanks to its skilled glassmasters, the business still has a chance to recover. And finally, a quick look at the weather forecast. The next few days are expected to be overcast, with day temperatures ranging between -1 and -5 degrees Celsius. I'm Daniela Lazarova, and that's the end of the news.
Hello, you're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech Radio. I'm Rob Cameron. Coming up in today's programme, Prime Minister Mirek Topolánek unveils details of a cabinet reshuffle. We'll be hearing who's staying and who's going. A new Eurosceptic party is unveiled in Prague with a mission to derail Czech ratification of the Lisbon Treaty.
If the rules of the club say that if one member says no, then it's no. should be now and forever.
Also today, minarets in the Netherlands, auto-erotic footballers in Italy, and a Turkish toilet in Bulgaria. Czech artist David Czerny unveils a provocative art installation at the European Commission in Brussels. All that and more in today's programme. Stay tuned. Nearly 3 months after promising a cabinet reshuffle, the Czech Prime Minister, Mirek Topolánek, has finally announced which members of his cabinet are to be removed. Making the announcement on Monday, Mr. Topolánek said the replacement of four ministers would give his government a new dynamic and improve communication with the public. Jan Richter has more.
On Monday, Prime Minister Mirek Topolánek found time from his busy schedule representing the EU presidency to announce the biggest changes to his government since it was formed 2 years ago. Leaving the cabinet are Health Minister Tomáš Julínek and Transport Minister Aleš Řebíček from his Civic Democrats, Human Rights Minister Jamila Stehlíková of the Greens, and Christian Democrat leader Jiří Čunek, who hours prior to Monday's announcement quit as Deputy Prime Minister and Minister of Regional Development. Mr. Topolánek explained the reasons for the reshuffle.
The changes at ministries should bring a new dynamic to the work of the cabinet, to make it more effective, to improve communication with the public, and to reflect the situation from last year. That's why these changes do not necessarily mean a poor evaluation of the minister's work.
The Prime Minister promised to replace several of his ministers after October's Senate and regional elections, in which all three coalition parties suffered a whitewash. The opposition scored high on promises to remove unpopular healthcare fees introduced as part of the government's healthcare reform early last year. The defeat brought about a conflict in the coalition, which effectively lost its majority in parliament. Mr. Topolánek said soon-to-be ex-health minister Julínek failed to convince the coalition partners that the reforms were necessary.
He has become a sort of magnet for all the negative emotions, for the frustration of healthcare professionals after 20 years without reforms. In the end, he lost the ability to persuade the coalition partners, as well as both chambers of parliament, on the issues he and his team had come up with.
The four ministers will be replaced within 10 days. Some of their replacements are already known. The Defence Minister Vlasta Parkanová will also take on the position of Deputy Prime Minister for the Christian Democrats, with that party's Cyril Svoboda taking over at the Regional Development Ministry. Meanwhile, the Greens will get their wish of seeing rock musician Michal Kocáb inheriting the human rights brief. Civic Democrat Petr Bendl will likely take his party's berth at the Transport Ministry. And last but not least, Senator Daniela Filipiová, who is wheelchair-bound, is tipped to become the new Minister of Health.
Jan Richter with that report on the cabinet reshuffle. Well, staying with politics, a new right-wing political party was unveiled on Monday by a close ally of Czech President Václav Klaus. Petr Mach, who heads Mr. Klaus's think tank, the Centre for Economics and Politics, said the Free Citizens Party would fight ratification of the EU's Lisbon Treaty, push for a referendum on the euro, and may cooperate with Declan Ganley's Libertas group ahead of this year's elections to the European Parliament. Supporters of the new party include both of Mr. Klaus's sons, three MPs and a senator, and also Benjamin Kuras, a journalist and writer who once worked for Radio Prague. I spoke to him at a rather noisy press conference to mark the party's launch.
The fact that I've joined the founding committee of the new party does not mean that I'm quitting writing. I will just add a little bit of politics to all the other professions that I've done in my life, and I hope to be able to write about politics in a more involved and insightful way than I have been so far. It's very easy to jeer at politicians from the off lines, but it gets a bit difficult once you are in and understand what they have to go through. So I'm taking it predominantly as a writer's experience, and hope that by doing that I will help Czech politics to straighten up a bit.
Czech politics is quite a crowded tent already. Are you confident that there is room for a party on the right of the political spectrum, a Eurosceptic party?
The latest poll that was published just before, I think before the new year, suggested that there is a 22% gap between the centre-right and the edge of the democratic right before it becomes the extreme right. So if that's what the market wants, we are prepared to offer it at the moment.
And these are people, Czech citizens, who are disappointed with the politics of the main centre-right parties like the Civic Democrats, people who oppose the Lisbon Treaty, people who oppose further, deeper European integration. You think there is a market to attract these sort of people to party?
Yes, and there's more to that. There is a growing awareness in many member countries that the politicians are beginning to behave like ancient lords and not quite yet tyrants, but we may get there if we don't stop them, and disregarding the will of the people, as has been shown in Holland and France during the referenda on the constitutional treaty, and as has been shown again in Ireland on the Lisbon Treaty.
Well, in Ireland, all that's happened was the people said no, and they will be asked again how they feel about this treaty. Surely that is democracy. That is asking the people what they want.
Is it, though? Is it going to continue, if they keep saying no, is it going to continue pushing them until they do say yes? That is what it looks like at the moment. And I would have said that if the rules of the club say that if one member says no, then it's no. It should be no and forever.
Writer and former Radio Prague journalist Benjamin Kura speaking to me at the launch of the Free Citizens Party. And there was another party launched on Monday, the Liberals, who are rather more in favour of European integration and even want to create a United States of Europe. We'll have to wait until June to see how they do in the European Parliament elections. Meanwhile, a piece of public art commissioned by the Czech Republic to mark the country's EU presidency has set tongues wagging in Brussels. Entropa sees each of the EU's 27 member states represented in all of their clichés and stereotypes as part of a larger piece assembled by Czech artist David Černý. Some in Brussels are praising the sculpture as thought-provoking, while others are dismissing it as downright crass. Rosie Johnston has more.
France is draped in a banner reading strike. Sweden comes flat-packed in an IKEA box, and Germany is crisscrossed by autobahns. Entropa, the artwork the Czech Republic commissioned to hang in the Council of the EU, plays upon the stereotypes and sore points of each of the Union's member states. The renowned Czech sculptor David Černý welded each of the 27 pieces into what looks like a giant Airfix model. His map of the Czech Republic features some of President Václav Klaus's most Eurosceptic comments. The other 26 parts were credited to artists from the relevant EU states, though it emerged on Tuesday that the Czech sculptor may have created all of them himself, using false names. Before unveiling the work on Monday, Czech officials said they hoped it would provoke discussion, and that it certainly has. Pavel Novák is one of Czech Radio's Brussels correspondents. He says the installation has been stopping crowds of EU employees in their tracks.
Some of them were satisfied and they said, OK, it's fun. Some of them, as I saw, were not too happy. For example, one lady from Bulgaria, when she saw that Bulgaria is there, showed as a so-called Turkish toilet. She was a little bit upset.
The Czech Republic, I suppose, over recent years has maybe built up a bit of a reputation as being a bit difficult in Brussels when it comes to the EU, maybe because of President Klaus's very vocal Euroscepticism, or maybe because of advertising campaigns like Evropě to osladíme. Does this not further kind of damage the Czech Republic's reputation?
Yeah, I think that this installation also amends a little bit to our reputation that we are a little bit enfant terrible, not so easy member of the European Union, and it shows that really we want to encourage Europe also to not to be so serious and to solve the problems with a little bit more humor.
Depending on which way you look at it, Entropa will be jollying up or defacing the EU's Justus Lipsius building until the end of the Czech's presidency in June. Then it'll be put on display in Prague.
Rosie Johnston with that report on that controversial piece of art in Brussels. Tell us what you think. Should Bulgaria be represented by a Turkish toilet? Is France always on strike? Write and tell us, English@radio.cz. Now, German scientists have reportedly discovered deposits of the rare metallic element indium in the Krušné Hory mountains on the northeastern Czech border. In fact, it could turn out to be the world's biggest deposit. But what does this discovery mean for the Czech Republic? And what exactly is indium? Dominic Yoon reports.
Indium is a malleable and very mildly radioactive metal which has found frequent use in the electronics industry, particularly in the computer industry. Now, a team of scientists from Germany's Technical University at Freiberg in Germany have discovered a reportedly large deposit of the rare metal in the Krušné Hory mountain range that forms the border between their country and the Czech Republic. Indeed, the find may point to what is the largest known single reserve of the metal anywhere on Earth. And as indium metal is extremely rare, it is also extremely expensive, currently selling for around 700 euros a kilo, a tenfold increase on prices a mere 5 years ago. I spoke with Dr. Tomáš Seifert of the Department of Economic Geology and Petrology at Freiberg Technical University, which has been undertaking a survey of the area. Freiberg has a long history with indium, which was discovered there in 1863.
We found the 1,000 tons, what are not only in one deposit. This is the summary of all deposits in western, central and eastern Erzgebirge. These mineralizations are about 315 million to 290 million years old, and we have it in the German part of the Erzgebirge as well as in the Czech part.
But even with these high market prices, the costs involved in extracting the metal, which is in mineral form and mixed with zinc and tin, which are suffering from low prices, may be prohibitive, and it would take roughly 3 years to begin the extraction.
I think that prices for metals will increase again, and then we have high tin, zinc and indium prices, and then I think it is real to mine indium here in the Erzgebirge. The environmental problems are very much in focus in our university. We try to involve methods for green mining, and so we are very careful. If we mine indium in the future with tin and zinc together, it will be underground mining, and now the technologies are so high developed that the impact for the environment is very, very low.
Dr. Tomáš Seifert, ending that report by Dominic Yoon. You're listening to Radio Prague, where it's time for another chance to hear Jan Richter's programme on the art of Czech brewing.
Many in the Czech Republic, which is home to the first Pilsner, believe Czech beer is the best in the world. In the past, Czech brewers shared their experience with the rest of the world, and breweries in countries as distant as Colombia, the United States, Turkey and Venezuela were built by Czech engineers. In this edition of Panorama, we look at the art of Czech brewing today. The original Czech Pilsner dates back to 1842, when the Honorable Burghers of Plzeň, disgruntled with the poor quality of their beer, hired a Bavarian brewmaster who invented the Plzeň, or Pils beer. This type of beer dominates the Czech market today, and when abroad, many Czechs go out of their way to get a beer just to their liking. In Prague's Pivovarský klub, or brewing club, I sat down with Evan Rail, a Prague-based American beer expert, the author of The Good Beer Guide, Prague and the Czech Republic.
For me, I think it certainly is the best of its kind of beer in the world. The problem is that many Czech people don't realize that Czech beer is only one style of beer, and there are many, many styles of beer. Beers in Belgium are very different than beers brewed here in the Czech Republic, and it's really impossible to compare. It would be like saying our apples are better than their oranges. If you like India Pale Ales, or if you like Belgian Ales, or Saison, or Bière de Garde, or if you like Alt, or if you like Lord knows what, the variety of beer is almost infinite, and very little of that is produced here.
But Czech brewers are coming back, with more than 50 micro or craft breweries having opened in the country since 2000. One of them, in the Prague area of Suchdol, is very special. Set up in 2006 at the campus of the Czech Agriculture University, it's used for teaching future generations of brewing engineers. Its designer and brewmaster, Ladislav Chládek, has had an impressive career in brewery construction.
I've been involved in beer production since 1976, when I started in a research institute for breweries and malteries in Prague. small breweries, let's say pub breweries, it was altogether 22. First was the school brewery. I was asked by school to develop a school brewery for students in Podskalská Street. It is the oldest school for brewers. Second one was pub brewery Novoměstský Pivovar in Vodičkova Street, nearby of from Menceslav Square. And last one is this one at University of Life Sciences in Prague here.
Since his first brewery in 1986, Mr. Chládek has designed and constructed small craft breweries in many countries.
I built two breweries in Japan. One was on island Kyushu, another one on Honshu. And then I built two breweries in South Korea, directly in Seoul. Then was Kazakhstan, and also was Greece, Germany, Russia, and so on.
Do people in Japan or in Korea, do they like beer? Is it a popular drink?
Well, in Japan, Czech beer is very popular, the same as Czech music. When I arrived to Japan, I was asked if I were a conductor or a first violinist. When I said I was a brewmaster, it was the same warm welcome to me.
The beer brewed at the Suchdol Agriculture University is called Suchdolský Jeník. Named after the university rector Jan Hron and brewed by students, it's distributed exclusively in shops and pubs located at the campus. Evan Rail says the students are doing a great job.
Their beer is wonderful. I made a special trip out there with a colleague just to taste it. It's not widely distributed. It's brewed by students and largely sold to students. But it's an excellent kvasnetsové pivo. It's a yeast beer. It's a really refreshing and bright and very hoppy, lovely malt body. It's an excellent beer anyone would be proud to make, especially students. I think they should be quite proud of it.
Ladislav Chládek says the university brewery is just like big industrial breweries, but much smaller. It only produces some 500 hectoliters of beer a year.
This university brewery has two meanings or two reasons. First is the education of our students, and second one is the research of different varieties of hops and barley for beer production.
Are many students interested each year to take courses at the brewery?
Yes, they are every year a lot of students, and not just boys, even girls are involved in this education. And in the summer courses, we have American students. It is a very favorite course for American students, the history of Bohemian brewing.
The brewery at the campus of the Czech Agriculture University in Suchdol opened in 2006. And the graduates of the beer brewing program will be ready to continue in the footsteps of engineers who spread the fame of Czech brewing around the world.
After political changes in 1989, it was possible to go to the whole world. You know, under a communist government, it was possible to construct breweries only in Soviet Union, and every year there was constructed one huge brewery, industrial brewery. And now you can find Czech brewmasters in every country, in south of Europe or in Americas, both America, north and south. As I told before, in Japan or in South Korea, Czech brewmasters are very well known. The same situation is in Russia. And now I was asked to go to Australia also to construct a brewery. I think I will send my friend to go there, for he is keen of it.
The revival of Czech brewing reputation has also influenced the home beer market. The largest beer producer in the Czech Republic, Plzeňský Prazdroj, or Pilsner Urquell, currently has more than 50% share of the market. Two of its brands, Pilsner and Gambrinus, are now on tap in most Czech pubs, but increasing numbers of smaller regional breweries cater to people who are looking for something more than just generic industrial products. Evan Rail says that for Czech beer aficionados, things are going well.
I think that the quality of Czech beer is by and large increasing. And from what I've heard, I wasn't here in the early 90s, that Czech brewing is really firing on all four cylinders at this point. Yes, most of the large breweries have been taken over by international corporations. yes, many of the large breweries have closed, but there is a new resurgence of small breweries and regional breweries that's just happened in the past few years. I think the tendency for breweries to close has stopped, and the tendency for new breweries to open up has started. And I think things are only getting better, honestly. Many of the beers that we're making are also much more diverse than they were before.
To taste Suchdolski Jenik for yourself, bottled or draft, just visit one of several shops and pubs at the university campus in Prague, Suchdol.
Lidičky, já mám rád pivo.
Já taky.
Za pivo ženskou bych dal.
Aspoň za dvě.
Ona mě furt jenom říká.
Inu,
ale co z toho kořali má?
Jan Richter with that edition of Panorama. And that program was first broadcast in June of last year. And if you joined us halfway through that, don't forget you can hear that again and indeed all our programs on the internet. Our address is www.radio.cz. That's all for now from me, Rob Cameron, and all of us here at Radio Prague. Take care and goodbye.
Musel jsem jít.
A co pan doktor?
A on mě předepsal pivo.
Ale jen jedno.
Jen jedno pívečko pí. Jenomže já jsem na něj vyzrál. Tak 12 lékařů šel. Každej mě předepsal pivo.
Jen jedno.
A já jich svej 12 měl. A proto
stará nebuď smutná, že mě pivo chutná. Já si dám raz, dva, tři korbele a ty běž do postele.
Já nevím, kde se to v člověku bere, ten neklid, co žene z místa na místo, z hospody do hospody. Vždyť já už lásko nikdy nemůžu, opravdu, vážně, fakt. A ty stará!
Stará, nebuď smutná, že mě pivo chutná. Já si dám raz, dva, tři korbele a ty běž do postele. Stará, nebuď smutná, že mě pivo chutná. A já si dám raz, dva, tři korbele a ty běž klidně kam chceš.
Že jsme jí probíli dva tři jaše, dva tři jaše, do mých groše, jak volí věnu jí ženy naše. Dva tři jaše, do mých groše, jak volí věnu jí ženy naše. Taky víc.